You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Suns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Brendan Kleene, your host. I'm with Evan, co-host, of course. We both write for Bright Side of the Sun. We are here actually today to do a little Elfrid Payton deep dive, and figured we'd team up with a Locked On teammate and invite Philip Rossman Reich, host of Locked On Magic, editor at Orlando Magic Daily, and our Elfrid Payton expert today. I wanted actually to start, Philip, with some of the tweets that you sent out last night, if you're cool with that. So,
go for it. I figured those would come back to haunt me.
Oh, of course. So ESPN tweeted, as I'm sure a lot of Suns fans saw, the Suns' 46-point loss to the Warriors is their fourth of the season of 40 or more points. That equals the total number for the rest of the NBA combined, which has nothing to do with Elfrid Payton, but is just kind of indicative of where the Suns are. And you quote-tweeted that tweet from ESPN and said, quote, "Tell me about Elfrid Payton's stat line tonight, though. Not trying to throw shade on the guy. I wish Payton the best, but team success moved on." So I don't think that that's too mean, but just kind of tell me what you meant and what you've seen from Payton that makes you not necessarily surprised at the result of the past couple games for the Suns.
Oh, I mean, I'll defend myself a little bit with some context. I was getting a lot of tweets at that moment from Magic fans just upset that we really gave up a player like Elfrid Payton for just a second round pick, and you know, tweeting me his stat line, you seeing Payton's stat line, you watching this, I'm like, yeah, I mean, no, I'm not watching this. I'm, you know, worrying about the Magic game. I was actually watching Jazz Spurs at the time. But it felt like, you know, there's a lot of, there are a lot of Magic fans specifically who were real frustrated that the team was moving on from a really talented player. And Payton is a really talented player. But, you know, I think a lot of the reason the Magic moved on from him is that see a future with him. Essentially, Elfrid Payton has been the starting point guard for the Orlando Magic for the last four seasons. He started 236 of 283 career games, so that'd be 234 of the 281 games he played with the Magic. That's not insignificant. And yet, despite 4 years as the starter, it never really felt like the Magic were taking any steps forward. And Payton's statistical output this year has been fantastic. He's having a career year in the box score. 13.5 points per game, total average is a career high. 13 points per game with the Magic were a career high. His assists are in line with his career averages, about 6 assists per game. He's a solid rebounder for a point guard. He's shooting a career high field goal percentage. He's been a lot smarter with his shooting. And yet, the Magic as a team, For various reasons, I don't think it's just on Payton, but I think Payton is a big part of it. The Magic as a team never really took a step forward, like maybe the Suns did in this loss. And I don't know the full circumstances for the Suns. I know that they've got a lot of injuries that they're dealing with, including Devin Booker. But Payton has been the point guard for plenty of 30-point losses for the Magic. He's been the guy that's kind of been in charge of the team for several, you know, just difficult defeats. And I think what I was really getting at with Payton here is Payton can fill up a box score. That's what he's very good at. And we saw that even toward the end of last season when he was, you know, posting near triple-double numbers for his post-All-Star break run, if you check the splits on that. But Payton and the Magic were kind of at the point of their relationship, I suppose, where that production wasn't the most important thing. The Magic wanted to see results. They wanted to see wins. And as this new management group, headed by Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, as this new management group kind of begins to put their mark on the team, they had to decide, is this a guy that we really want to invest in? And after 4 years as the starter at point guard, one of the most important positions in the modern NBA, Payton hadn't really taken that step to make a huge difference toward winning. And there are definitely a few weaknesses that were the reason why. And so I think my comments at that point were really about, look, this guy can put up numbers. We know that. what defines him and what's going to get him paid this summer one way or another is how much does he help your team win. And I think the Magic were convinced that he's not their starting point guard of the future, and so they moved on.
Hey, Philip, real quickly, I wanted to ask about Elfrid. As far as his defensive profile, 6'4", 6'7", wingspan, he's an ideal guy at point guard spot you can put against most guards on most nights. But as we saw in Orlando, his defensive ability really waned and was really disappointing, especially in a defensive system like Frank Vogel provides. So seeing it up close and personal, just what went wrong with Elfrid Payton as far as his defense goes?
I think there are definitely a number of things that went wrong with Elfrid Payton on the defensive end. He does have the great defensive profile. I mean, he was drafted largely because of his defense. He won the Lefty Drysdale Award in college at Louisiana Lafayette as the nation's top defender. So it felt like he had the ability. I think instability with the Magic's coaching staff hurt him and his development overall and some of those little things, especially kind of leader. I mean, the leadership thing, the defense thing, I think that really hurt Payton and his development, really hurt everyone on the Magic. I mean, when Payton was drafted, Jacques Vaughn was the coach. Vaughn was fired midway through that season. James Borrego became the coach. He's now an assistant with the Spurs. Borrego moved on to San Antonio. They bring in Scott Skiles. Scott Skiles resigns at the end of the year. Then they bring in Frank Vogel, and then Vogel was coaching this year. So Payton has had a lot of turnover in the voices that are trying to teach him and what he's trying to learn, and it just never really came together. I think Payton has shown that he does have good defensive ability, but it's not consistent. I think he really struggles guarding pick and rolls. He kind of dies on screens and pick and rolls. Zach Lowe pointed this out earlier in the year, but when you watch Payton off the ball, he tends to wander around a little bit. He kind of searches for steals and loses his man on occasion, and then gets beat on when he's late to close out. And it's those little details that matter in becoming a good defender. And it just feels like whatever Payton gives you on offense, he takes away a lot on defense, especially against elite point guards. He'll put up numbers, but it's you need a little bit more from him, especially with where the Magic were at in their development.
You talked a little bit about, I mean, you mentioned it briefly as one of the things that he maybe struggled with, and I would imagine the leadership aspect of, it doesn't necessarily need to come from the point guard position. I do think that's maybe a cliche, but at the same time, that is, on a young team, especially somewhere that the guys are going to look, because, on the court, that's how the setup is. That they relied on Payton, a lot of those young players, to get them the ball and find them. And he's good at that, I think. But, the coaching changes and all of the instability, I think, with the franchise probably impacts a player's ability to take a leadership role even more than, and things. So, I don't necessarily think the Suns are going to need Payton to be that type of leader. They have a lot of guys in place, a lot of voices in the locker room already that are doing that and are capable of doing that. But I guess to kind of ask a similar question to the one Evan had, but, what do you think was the problem there? Because, I always think of those small school guys who kind of come out stronger and rise up the lottery and those kinds of players. I always feel like they have a lot of fight. I don't know if that's just an assumption or a stereotype of those players, but it went wrong for him in that regard. Was it as simple as the coaching changes, or was it a little bit deeper than that?
I think the coaching changes obviously had a huge impact on the entire roster. I think there's no doubt about that. The Magic never, and this isn't a Magic show, so we don't need to dig into the last 6 years of the Magic's rebuild, but since trading Dwight Howard, the Magic have just completely lacked direction, and obviously they fired Rob Hennigan because they didn't feel like they were moving in a good direction. They didn't feel like they were going the way they needed to go, and it's not all on Elfrid Payton. Let's be clear. I mean, coaching change is obviously a huge deal. The lack of stability, the lack of just not having that kind of comfort with the same coach, with the same system, with the same ideology really hurt. And the Magic didn't do a good job building a good roster around him. It was a roster that didn't have a lot of shooting. I mean, when Payton came into the league, You had Victor Oladipo, who wasn't a good three-point shooter at that time. They drafted Aaron Gordon with him, who was not a good three-point shooter, and still he's come back down to earth since his hot start. He's about 34-35% three-point shooter. And so that really congested the space for Peyton to drive and create offensively. But defensively, it's hard to say. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, part of it is just Peyton is just not learning those little details, not having maybe the right veterans in the locker room. I mean, I think having a guy like Jared Dudley and to some extent Tyson Chandler in that locker room with the Suns is going to help out. It's maybe not having the right defenders behind him. Nikola Vucevic is an improved defender, but no one is going to sit around and say that he's a good defender. Bismack Biyombo, for his rim protecting abilities, still not a great. I would not characterize him as a shutdown defender. He's not kind of the rim protector that the Magic thought they were getting. Certainly for the price tag that they paid for him, but it's really hard to put a finger on why things went wrong with Peyton. It was kind of more emblematic of all the problems that the Magic were having. And again, it's not that he was playing poorly. He was playing well for the Magic this year, and he's generally played well for the Magic and gotten better each year. But the issue, it came to the issue of, and this is from the Magic perspective, he's a restricted free agent. Do we believe that he is the starting point guard for our future? Do we believe that he's someone that we're going to pay 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, maybe $15 million a year? I don't know what he's – I honestly, I can't even answer what he's going to make in free agency this summer. I mean, it's both a crazy summer for free agency, and it's also I think even in a normal market, it'd be difficult to figure out exactly what Peyton is going to get in restricted free agency, because he puts up good numbers, but it never feels like he can take the team to the next level. And I think ultimately Magic management kind of decided, you know, we've got to start flipping some of these guys out. We can't just keep bringing back the same guys and expecting different results. And Peyton's turn was up, and the Magic just kind of decided, We don't think we can get to the next level with him here.
Like you mentioned before, Philip, about the talent in Orlando, maybe it's a lot different compared to where it is in Phoenix with the talent like Josh Jackson, Devin Booker, Dragan Bender, maybe even Marquese Chriss, you think he's going to develop along on the correct path. But compare those situations between Phoenix or Orlando. Do you think Elfrid Payton, like we saw in the first two games, he's had great games, but obviously they've been both in losses and a historic 46-point loss to Golden State last night. Just what's your thoughts on Elfrid Payton as a playmaker, and do you think he could evolve guys like Josh Jackson, Dragan Bender, and take them to the next step?
I think offensively, Peyton is a really good fit for Phoenix. Phoenix is a pretty solid team offensively. I haven't checked the stats in a while, but Phoenix is pretty solid on the offensive end. They've got a shooter in Devin Booker. They've got some other guys who can create a little bit off the dribble. And so long as they're willing to cut and play off of Peyton and play off of Peyton's drives, he's going to find them. The one thing I think that Peyton does a really good job, and I think you saw this, and at least some of the highlights that I saw last night of him when he got off to such a hot start. Teams know to play off him and to dare him to shoot, but he doesn't take that bait very often. He doesn't just say, "Oh, there's no one on me for 5 feet. I'm just going to shoot." Instead, what he's really good at is taking that space up, and you know, kind of like Rajon Rondo. I mean, the Rajon Rondo comparisons have been following Peyton ever since he got into the NBA, because he just wasn't a good shooting point guard. But he's really good at taking that space and creating and still creating kind of the collapse that an offense needs to free up shooters. The other place that Peyton is really good at is in transition. He is when he picks up the pace, and I think this is something Phoenix absolutely needed from their point guard. A guy who's going to get down the court quickly, set things up into a secondary break, and really force the tempo a little bit more for that team. Peyton's really, really good at that. And that's why ultimately he was still the starting point guard for Orlando, because Orlando wanted to keep the pace up and wanted to play at a fast pace, and Peyton was the best at that, and everyone on the team knew it. And I think Orlando is going to lose a little something because they don't have Peyton to push the tempo like that. Give him an open three. He's not afraid to take it. He'll take it. And this season he's been making them, but he's very selective with the jump shots he takes. And that's why his field goal percentage is so high. And I think that's really, really smart of him. I think he's a really smart and gifted offensive player. He's going to put passes on point to players. He's going to deliver great passes to players in spots that they can score. You just gotta be ready for the pass and ready to run with them. And I think Phoenix is a perfect kind of team to do that with the athletes that they have.
So last Thursday, when we were doing our kind of instant reaction to the trade, and I don't think it was entirely unexpected that the Suns got a guy at the deadline. I think, you know, Emmanuel Mudiay, Elfrid Payton were probably the two biggest names, but it felt like there was maybe a young point guard to get if a team wanted one, and the Suns were probably had the biggest need at that spot. But one of the things I was trying to look for when we were doing that episode was to just go back and try to think about the different players at the two that Payton had played with. And you mentioned Victor Oladipo. Obviously this season it's been Evan Fournier. Those are the two that stuck out to me. I'm sure that there's been others as well, but trying to kind of project that to when he's able to play with Devin Booker, which has obviously been the biggest. Haven't been able to see these two games with Payton in the Suns lineup is Devin Booker hasn't played. But how do you see that fit? And, you know, kind of drawing from how he's played and changed based on who's been in the lineup with him in Orlando, and what you kind of see that translating to with Booker.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, some of it is just young player development, but I think Payton really grew a lot more with Evan Fournier next to him rather than Victor Oladipo. You know, Victor Oladipo is an all-star this year, is shooting fantastic from beyond the arc, but that's not the player he was in Orlando. In Orlando, it was a very congested paint because teams knew that both Oladipo and Payton wanted to drive and neither could shoot. And so for the Magic, it was a huge problem. And I think, honestly, one of the reasons they decided to trade Victor Oladipo was because they were trying to make Elfrid Payton work. You know, I've kind of been making this joke, you know, it's a little bit of a joke, but Rob Hennigan, the Magic's former general manager, he kind of died on the Elfrid Payton hill. He drafted Elfrid Payton, or he traded for Elfrid Payton on draft night in 2014. When Scott Skiles resigned, there's been plenty of rumors about why Scott Skiles resigned. And one of the reasons was he disagreed with Rob Hennigan about Elfrid Payton. And I think it'd be difficult to trade a guy in a second year or to give up on a guy in a second year, especially one who showed as much promise. But, you know, there was a huge disagreement within the Magic front office about how to make Elfrid Payton work. And so I think one of the reasons they ended up trading Oladipo and sticking with Evan Fournier and giving Evan Fournier the big contract was because they believed that Fournier ultimately had a brighter future or not necessarily a brighter future, but fit better with the roster they were building. They needed his shooting much more than they needed whatever Oladipo was going to be, because Oladipo hadn't really quite made the star leap yet. And so I think the Magic felt like they could take a little bit of a gamble and try and cash in on him. That's a debate for another day, perhaps.
Philip, sorry about that. Continue.
So I think that when it comes to Devin Booker is much better than Evan Fournier. Let's put that out there right now. But I think Booker and Fournier are very similar players in that Fournier likes to run off pin downs and come up at on the top for open three pointers. You know, Fournier works really well off of screens. I think Booker can do that too. And again, Booker is going to help space the floor for Payton in a way that even Fournier probably doesn't. If he's willing to cut off of Payton's drives, Payton will find him and find him cutting to the basket or cutting to open spots in his field of vision. And I think ultimately that's going to help Booker and help the Suns in the long run. I think it's a much better fit than what the Magic had with Oladipo for sure, and probably with Fournier as well.
Like we saw Orlando, much like Phoenix hasn't made the playoffs since 2010, and ever since Dwight Howard left, Orlando's really struggled as far as trying to rebuild that situation. Like you mentioned earlier in this podcast, as far as choosing Elfrid Payton over Victor Oladipo and doing all that, getting Serge Ibaka, trading him 6 months later, just what's your thoughts on overall if you want to put Elfrid Payton into the next domino effect of this alongside guys like Oladipo and such, but just what's your thoughts overall on the Magic's front office and how that's gone with the new management, and just how much did Hennigan set back this franchise, you think?
I think I've kind of been calling this year zero of a rebuild, as much as Magic fans don't want to hear it. I think that it's very, very clear that the Magic want to or need to flip over this core. I think really the only players that I feel that the Magic should be committed to keeping are Aaron Gordon, who's probably going to get a very big contract this summer, and Jonathan Isaac. Everything else is, you know, Jonathan Simmons is nice, Ken Birch is nice, Wes Iwundu's nice, but especially the big guys, Nikola Vucevic, Evan Fournier, Bismack Biyombo, it's probably time to move on from some of those guys and again, kind of rebuild the franchise up again. It's disappointing to say that. But for sure, I think that Rob Hennigan really set the team back. You know, you're looking at a team that has a lot of youngish veterans. It's not that they're old by any stretch, but they're not on rookie contracts. You got a lot of guys that are on big contracts that don't perform well together and don't have a lot of marketability out in the league. You know, Nikola Vucevic is a great example. The Magic start him. He is their starting center, and he should be because he's probably their best center when he's playing at his best. But for most teams, he's probably a backup center. Evan Fournier is the number one option on the team. He's averaging, I think, 16, 17 points per game. He's not a bad player. He can play. But for most teams, he's probably their second or third option, and he's got 3 or 4 years left on his he's got 3 years left on his contract after this one. So who's going to take that deal? That's kind of the pickle that Rob Hennigan left the Magic in. That's the difficult spot that Jeff Weltman and John Hammond found when they arrived, and that's why I've called this year zero. You got to give them a chance to clear the decks a little bit and put their imprint on this roster. Having said that, you know, I'm an optimist by nature. I think I have to be to follow this team. So I'm still optimistic that you take Aaron Gordon, you take Jonathan Isaac, and you take whoever you draft with the pick that the Magic are going to have at nearly the top of the first round this summer. And you've got the beginnings of a new core. You've got the beginnings of something you can build around. And from there, it's about developing your young players and building a team that accentuates their talent. I think the biggest thing that Rob Hennigan failed with, and I've talked about it a little bit, in how Evan Fournier struggled, or how Elfrid Payton struggled, the team never really fit together. Drafting Elfrid Payton to play next to Victor Oladipo was a fool's errand. You had two guards who could not shoot in a league that was becoming more and more about the three-pointer. That was a problem, and that was clearly a mistake that the Magic made, and it feels like they're still digging themselves out of that, plus the free agent splurge that Rob Hennigan went on 2 summers ago.
Now, unless Evan has anything else after this one, I asked, actually, Baxter Holmes of ESPN, I had him on for an episode talking about Mike James, which seems like in Suns game...
Seems like forever ago.
Half years ago, maybe 5 years ago. It feels like that.
Seasons last like 17 years.
For real, they do, especially when a team loses 50 games. Yeah. But I asked him, having his background coming from the Lakers and that rebuild and looking on there with some of, obviously, maybe not the best contracts, but having those veteran voices in the locker room and maybe kind of if that made a difference from his point of view. And I think he was on the same page with kind of the general consensus of the league that, you know, at a fair price and playing the right amount of minutes, those guys clearly do make a difference for young players. But you mentioned earlier in the episode that maybe perhaps why the Magic rebuild didn't go quite as well as it could have, the first Hennigan led era of it, was because they didn't have a lot of those guys. And you know, the older players they did have aren't the faces of the NBA that make the rounds of, you know, veteran leader types, and Mike Miller. They didn't have those kinds of guys at all in that stretch. And I wonder, from your perspective, without getting into any specific players, just what kind of impact do you see that having around the league, and what, you know, what you think it could have helped in Orlando?
Yeah, I think it's really critical. You know, I think, especially when you're beginning to take that step from young rebuilding team to let's try and make the playoff team. You know, I think that was actually one of the big mistakes the Magic made, is they didn't value their veterans enough. They didn't, not that you need to play them maybe late in the season when you're not necessarily trying to win games per se. But, like, I think you still need those voices in the locker room, and you still, and especially as you're trying to learn how to win, need those guys to make the plays that teach the young guys what it takes to win. I think it's at a certain stage, you need impact veterans. I have what I call the Horace Grant theory. When the Magic made the playoffs in 94, they were the young team that everyone loved. Hardaway, Shaq, they were young. They were too young to know what the heck they were doing. They got the home court advantage and got swept by the Indiana Pacers, a much more seasoned veteran team. And so the next summer, they went out and got Horace Grant. And, you know, I am very convinced that the 95 Magic do not make the finals that year. Because they were still kind of, I mean, if you saw the 30 for 30, you know this. They're still kind of this young team that was too young to know what they were doing. But I am personally convinced that Horace Grant turned that from a young developing team into a championship team very, very quickly. Within a year. And to most people, that Magic team was the favorite to win the 95 finals over the defending champion Houston Rockets. Sorry about that. sorry we didn't get the job done for you guys then. But I really believe that impact veterans make a huge difference when you're transitioning from rebuilding to winning. When you're rebuilding, you need veterans to kind of show guys the right way to make sure they don't develop bad habits. Everyone talks about process and all this and process over results. That's really what it's about at this stage. I mean, I think the success of what the Philadelphia 76ers have done is not just about them tanking for lottery picks and winning the lottery. It's about them building the right habits and building a culture, really, that values what it takes to win. And I think too many teams at the bottom, and the Magic, I think, are certainly part of this, too many teams at the bottom don't value that enough or don't kind of have the right mentality to take that step forward. And so I think that veteran presence is absolutely important, especially when you have to go through all the losing you're going through to the development of your young players and eventually teaching them how to win at the end of the day.
Evan, you got anything else?
No, I think that was really fun. I appreciate your time on Elfrid Payton.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Enjoy him. Like, Elfrid is a great dude. He's kind of quiet. Everyone loves joking about his hair. You'll learn to love it. Trust me. And Elfrid's a great guy. You guys are gonna love him for this last half of the season, and who knows, maybe longer.
Who knows? I heard actually real quick that he told a Suns reporter about his hair. He might be cutting out after the All-Star break.
I heard that. My only word of advice is don't fall for the April Fool's trick. The Magic's website a few years ago did an April Fool's trick. Fool's joke where he cut where they photoshopped him without his hair, and it was very scary and everyone freaked out, and Peyton was like, I don't know, you guys did that, but that's cool, I guess.
All right, you can follow him, Philip, at philiprr_omd, and you can check out everything he does over at orlandomagicdaily.com. We will be back with a recap of the Utah Jazz game, provided it's not another miserable 50-point loss. Probably sometime early in the All-Star break. And you can follow us at Locked On PHX Suns. We'll see you guys later. Thank you.